And welcome back to an episode of Against Jay's Me Boy Line.
Me Joe.
And so we've come to another sad news in the gaming sphere. Boy, oh boy, is it hard to be an Xbox fan nowadays. I'm more of a, I just like games and I'll just play in whatever system I can get it in. But damn, this is pretty sad.
So in case you haven't heard the news, it's very recent news at the time of recording. Xbox has been pushing the Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, for a couple years now, and a lot of people have seen it as sort of like the one shining beacon of Xbox in a way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Series X is a solid console. I think a lot of people can understand that, but, you know, given Microsoft's lack of, like, mainline exclusives and stuff, you know, we've truly sort of seen Xbox, I think, sort of transition into just focusing purely on Game Pass. I mean, hell, you got the Gears of War games, collection coming to PS5, which is, you know, kind of a...
The fuck?
Yeah, like, one of those breaking down barriers, although at the same time, Helldivers 2 also coming to Xbox, sort of, with actual, like, Halo ODST stuff, like, for the crossover.
That was a fun time.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. So, it is, in a lot of ways, a changing of the industry, in a way, but...
Yeah, because, like, it's getting to the point within the industry where the idea of exclusivity is kind of going away, but it still kind of has that little a bit of, you know... Yeah, but if you want to play on this, this is kind of what you get. Like, it's like a selling point, really, right?
Well, it kind of has to be, because at a certain point, when you look at both the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5, like, they are more or less similarly powered consoles. I mean, hell, PC gaming still... I feel like it's getting a lot more accessible nowadays, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation has started porting a lot of their games to to the PC, right? Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's you can buy it on Steam.
Yeah, Last of Us. Mm-hmm. I think the God of War games, I believe, as well. So, you know.
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me that Xbox was the one to be like, yeah, we're just going to like have it exclusive for a year and then pass it on to everybody else like at the end of the year, by the end of like next month or whatever.
Yeah, but anyways.
Because it's kind of like the ecosystem that we kind of like ended up becoming and having. Like, what used to be expensive is no longer expensive, which is funny because I'm saying that now.
Yeah, but anyways, to get to the main topic of the episode is sort of Xbox announcing a sort of...
a price hike.
Yeah, of their...
Typically a 50% one.
Yeah, of Game Pass. Mainly, it's sort of a... From what I understand, it's a retooling of Game Pass itself, because there was three tiers... I forget the names of the other two tiers, but mainly Ultimate was like the big one.
Yeah, so it's basically it's Basic, Premium, and Ultimate. Ultimate is the one that gets you the most stuff, and including the thing that made Game Pass to me very, you know, likable, which is the day one access to the games. And how much do I got to pay for that, Joey? A month.
Originally, before the price increase, it was $19.99, so that's $20 basically, US. And they increased it to $29.99, so now you're paying $30 for all that.
Yeah.
And, obviously, you know, definitely a big price jump, a whole $10, right? Which, I mean, given the state of the economy, I guess, yeah, not great.
No.
They try to justify it. Xbox released, their sort of statement on it, and they try to justify the hike. Mainly, it's stuff like... Because I think Ultimate had access to EA Play stuff, Riot stuff, yeah, like, you know...
Ubisoft, I think.
Well, no, this is coming with the new Ubisoft Plus.
Yeah.
So you get to be playing whatever stuff Ubisoft Plus, which is like their own subscription service, gets, along with like their classic games.
You're essentially buying the Disney Plus bundle.
Kind of, yeah. And
but with everything included, so the thing that made, you know, the Disney Plus bundle at least made a little bit of sense, even though no one was buying it.
Yeah, they're even adding the Fortnite crew, which is like their monthly subscription pass of like...
You're essentially buying four different subscription passes from the sounds of it.
Yeah, and that's their way of justifying it. They're even talking about, they even talked about how, you know, you got your cloud gaming that's finally out of the beta, stream at like 1440p. A new reward system where I guess the more you play with Game Pass, like you get, you earn points and then you can exchange those points for like, you know, money and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a lot of these things, but obviously, you know, for a lot of people, like, you're right.
That's,
like, the main thing was just wanting to play whatever games that were coming on Xbox day one for, like, a decent price, $20.
Yeah.
You get, a large library of games. They wouldn't be there all the time, right?
No, because, like, you know, the easy way to compare it to was, like, Netflix.
Yeah, in a way, it was the Netflix of gaming, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, you spend this much money, you get this giant a library of games that you can just try
mm-hmm.
out, and if you like it, you can still buy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I believe you get, like, discounted prices as well whenever you do buy games that are on Game Pass,
yep.
if you have the subscription,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, helped out a bit, right? But obviously, yeah, paying $30 for all that is a bit of a much ask, especially because, like, when you look at it, right, like, I think for most people, like, they just wanted to play the games.
Yeah.
Not to say that it isn't a good deal in, like, terms of, like, you get access to EA Play and Ubisoft Plus and
But the problem is, it's a lot to ask for the consumer. It's $30 a month. And with the way things are going now, like, economy-wise, where, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, not trying to make statements out there, but, you know, certain prices right now are a little high, where gaming was used to be sort of, like, more of a convenience, you know? It wasn't, like, it wasn't an expensive hobby.
Right.
And now we're making it an expensive hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
no.
like, not many people want to pay that much. And, yeah, sure, they have different, because, so, they each have a little tier list, right? With each their own little price. I think the lowest one is basically what you've been getting for the past few years, what, $15?
No, so if I recall correctly, you have Ultimate's the one that costs the most. Premium is sort of that middle tier, which I believe those Premium and Essential are staying at the same price.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall correctly, Essential should be $15, I think. I believe
so. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, no. Premium is $14.99, and then Essential is your lowest tier,
mm-hmm.
right? That is, let me double check if I have the price here right. Yeah, that one's going to be $9.99, so that's
yeah.
$10.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, it's the different stuff you get. Essential, which is your lowest one, right, which is basically, I would essentially describe it as, like,
Essential.
Yeah, because if you wanted to play online or whatever, that's what the...
Yeah, you just paid, what, $10?
$10 a month, which is, like, $60,
which is fine.
You know, like, you're old... Well, not $60, actually.
No.
Not anymore. Because I was thinking about, like, old game Xbox Gold subscription,
yep.
where it's, like, $60 a year or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know... Miss those days, right? Miss those days. But, yeah, Essential just comes with, like, you know... A library of games, like 50 games, you know, just not many stuff, and it's not
mm-hmm.
even like the stuff you would normally get, right?
Yeah.
Like with like the higher tiers, right? Premium is probably what a lot of people are seeing as like maybe the more good option because you still get a large library, about 200 games,
mm-hmm.
Which is, by the way, this also includes, like, PC as well,
mm-hmm.
right, and cloud gaming. You also have, I believe, with premium, yeah, so you will get, like, new Xbox games coming
yeah.
out, but it will be within, like, the release window of a year. So it's not day one, and I think that's the thing that people, again, it's like you said, like mm-hmm. you liked the day one thing. You
yeah.
liked, as soon as the game came out, you could just go to Game Pass and download
it.
It
helps so many people get into newer games that, like, didn't have the ability to, you know, purchase them at the moment, right? So, like, Expedition 33, game of the year, right? Like, a game of the year contender. The one that everyone has been raving about for, I feel like, a good 3 months,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe even longer. I finished the game, like, a month or two ago. Fantastic game. Love that game. You're in the middle of playing it.
Yeah.
And right. even you're like, okay, I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm liking it so far.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. Then, like, one of the best things about that was also how accessible it was. And Game Pass was one of the ways you was able to be accessible because it was a day one purchase. You know, it was a day one game on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, if it wasn't for that, a lot of people wouldn't have been exposed to the game. It also helped that it was very cheap.
Yeah, I guess in a way, like, because it wasn't like the normal, typical AAA prices.
No,
know,
no,
it was
no.
$70, it was, what,
no.
50?
I think it was
60.
I need to double check. But you're right, though. You're right at the end of the day. Because, like, the ability to be affordable right now is the big thing involving this. Like, I get the... Like, I get the tier list, and I get what they're trying to do and trying to make it, like, at least affordable, but you're kind of taking away a part of what made Game Pass so, you know, unique to itself. That became such, like, an interesting thing for people to buy.
No, definitely. And, because I think, at least for me, because I play a lot of games on my laptop, right? Like, do some PC gaming stuff. And, yeah, because you also have just Game Pass, but just for PC in general, which is, I think, is the cheapest option. Well, not, like, the second cheapest option.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think Xbox's, like, PC game library, whatever that, expansive.
No.
But at the same time, you know, I did, you know, but once you upgrade to, like, Ultimate or whatever, because that's what I did, you know, you get a lot of different options, and it was kind of neat, too, to just, like, mess around with cloud gaming for a bit. Like, yeah, you know, I obviously needed, like, a LAN cable to make it stable or whatever, but, you know, it felt good, and, you know, part of my brain kind of just goes, like, okay, you know, it'd be kind of neat to see where, how the system, because I haven't tried cloud gaming in a while yet for, you know, the Project Cloud stuff, xCloud. But, you know, it's just kind of like, that's sort of an interesting thing, too, with Game Pass Ultimate. Now, granted, premium, the middle tier, is still getting that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, like, it's like you said, it's a matter of convenience. It's a matter of, like, essentially allowing yourself to pay for what essentially is $20 a month, beforehand, getting all these games, especially games day one, you know, and it's not even like just the nature of it, it's just the trying it out,
because
mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, people like to have that stuff, especially when it comes to, like, say, like, multiplayer games or something right? Because I think when people want to try to play games with each other, they tend to lean towards games that are, like, cheap, because, you know, if you and your friends are trying to play games with each other, you know, which is, you know, thankfully crossplay has been, you know, expanded.
Which
right.
is so funny, because they were one of the bigger companies that was clamoring for crossplay.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, it's so essentially having Game Pass, it's like, oh, why don't you just buy Game Pass for $20 and then you can find games that you and your friends can play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a pretty easy selling point, but now, you know, raising the price, you know, you might price out some of those people. Like, yeah, I don't want to pay $30 for the service, especially if I'm not going to be playing all the games on there.
Yeah.
Which I think was probably one of the critiques of Game Pass, of like, okay, yeah, sure, you're paying this much money, but are you going to play all those games? And I think that's especially true now, because now you're paying $30, and yeah, cool, Ubisoft Plus, that's neat, right? You get to play a bunch of Ubisoft mm-hmm. games, but at the same time, am I really going to go back and play Assassin's Creed 4 as much as I like Assassin's Creed 4? I don't think so. I mean, heck, if anything, I mean, I have the physical disc.
Yeah. You still have it working 360.
Well, I mean, we didn't. It wasn't on 360.
Oh, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Main point being, I can still play the older games if I really wanted to. I don't need to subscribe, or I would. I don't need to.
The beauty with physical copies.
Yeah, I guess in a weird way. Like, these are games I already own anyway. Yeah. I don't need that. And obviously, Fortnite is a Fortnite crew pass or whatever. You know, yeah, sure, it's neat if you're a person that is into Fortnite. It is a free-to-play game. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, if I'm playing to be online anyway, if I have an Xbox, yeah, that's a solid deal anyway, right? But at the same time, you could argue that, like, yeah, but if you don't care about any of the games that are on Game Pass, if you're strictly just, like, a Fortnite, Call of Duty, Madden player, which I imagine that's a fair large chunk of gaming, you know, casual audience, then realistically, it's probably just cheaper to pay the $12 it is for Fortnite Crew Pass than to just pay, like, an extra, you know,
whatever amount of money you pay for that month.
Yeah, you know? So, that is,
I mean, do you think there could have been a way where you could have done this, but, like, done it in a way where it didn't have to cost you this much? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if you did it, like, a different tier, right? Where it's all that stuff that you mentioned with Ubisoft, Fortnite, and you paid this amount of much, and, like, Ultimate is still the same price as it was.
Like they made, like, a Super Ultimate Pass or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible, but I think at the end of the day, like, when you're thinking about, I guess, the marketing and the pricing and stuff, I don't know, Microsoft probably just felt like, well, realistic, I think they sort of saw it as, like, a, well, benefit, you know, the pros outweigh the cons the money, right? Like, so, and I think, you know, it's sort of like, okay, we raised it by $10, but we still keep the original Ultimate Pass.
Mm-hmm.
People are just going to just buy the Ultimate Pass anyway. We're not going to see enough,
revenue,
and revenue if they buy, like, the Super Ultimate Pass that comes with Fortnite and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not enough people are going to buy it, so just, you know, not do that, and to just put that into the original.
That's kind of the thing about business that, like, you know, like, I get, but it just never, like, worked with me personally, because, I mean, I took, like, a business class one time, and I was like, I hate this so much. It just...
Well, it's all about maximizing profits.
Yeah, it is.
You know, that's sort of the way, that's the system, right? And, obviously, you're seeing that with, I guess, how Microsoft is handling the Game Pass stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is interesting because, you know, Game Pass, I feel like, was already, like, the most profitable thing that Xbox has done in the past couple years.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does necessitate, like, it does make you beg the question as to why they do it.
I think it's mainly because they need to make all the money back after buying Bethesda and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think
you're
wrong.
I think it's the common consensus right now.
Yeah, like, not to say that it hasn't worked out.
No, I mean, like, here's the thing. They've come out or promoted games. I'm like, oh wow, this is actually, like, really fun. Like, I enjoyed my time with Indiana Jones.
And I think a lot of people did. I think it's a solidly rated game. Yeah.
So it's a solidly rated game, and then there's also, you know, the Outer Worlds, and then there's Psychonauts 2, and then there's, I'm trying to think of, like, all the other games that came out around the time with all their mergers. But it not to say, oh, High Five Rush, but they ended up having to shut down the studio because it didn't meet
their expectations.
Yeah.
I feel like you're forgetting a big one, though.
Which is
Starfield.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know, the big next Bethesda game.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that one didn't do so good, did it?
I think it did very mixed reviews, I think I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I played it for a little bit. I think it was fine. I guess it's Listen, if you're a fan of Skyrim, you know, of like the Bethesda sort of games, I think you'd be alright with it, but at the same time, it's sort of, considering the other sort of games that are out there that are that do that similar formula, like, there's probably better out there.
Well, it still had the bones of Skyrim and the thing that made Skyrim Skyrim.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
So there wasn't anything, like, new. It just switched to guns. But also,
yeah,
I think we're forgetting.
Space,
yeah, and I think we're forgetting the other game, Morrowind.
Oh, the re-release of no, it was Oblivion.
Oblivion, yeah.
Yeah, it was they remastered Oblivion, which
yeah.
You know, that's cool. It was a Shadow Drop, which I mean, again, that's
great.
That's you know, again, it was I think everybody really liked it. They, you know,
granted, it got overshadowed by Expedition 33.
I mean, yeah, but they're both different games.
Fair enough.
You know, so, I mean, what do you want to say?
No.
It's a Shadow Drop. They didn't do a big whole, like, oh, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Coming out in X. No, it's not today. You know, you just download it on Game Pass, yeah. But, yeah, no, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
The
thing with Xbox has been, you can say for this whole generation, is that whatever steps have they done to make go forward, they have shot themselves in the foot, slash, you know, or and also somehow went two steps back. Sometimes
yeah.
10.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, essentially, the them buying out all these other game studios was them trying to find a way to compete with the amount of first-party titles that PlayStation has, but ultimately hasn't really worked out the way that Microsoft wanted. I mean, obviously, they own Activision. And I think they should at least be making a bunch of money off of, like, Call of Duty and stuff, right? Especially since, you know, that's the one game they're like, hey, it's going to be on both consoles, you know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, hell, think about it like this. Perfect Dark, like, the new Perfect Dark they were supposed to be making, canceled.
Right? Yeah.
Like, there's just it's just a constant string of, like, stuff they announce and just ultimately just doesn't come through.
To be fair, I think that's just the majority of, like, the company itself, like, not just the company, I mean, not the company, but, like, the ecosystem that is, you know, gaming. Right now, there's a lot of companies that are trying really hard, and this goes to, like, even PlayStation 2. They want that AAA title, but it's like, you can't just have AAA titles as your main thing. You can also have... There's a reason why Expedition 33 was such a big hit, because it's not a big company, like, game that, you know... You just let people who want to make a game make the game. You know,
I mean, yeah, it
didn't cost them that much.
You're not wrong. I mean, hell, I mean, as much as we're talking about like the number of failures that Xbox has had, I mean, PlayStation has had failures too. I mean, Concord
is their biggest one.
Yeah, they poured a bunch of money into that. I mean, hell, they bought Destiny. I'm guessing because they were looking more in terms of like. The ecosystem's turning into games as a service kind of thing. They wanted to jump in on that. And, you know, Concord was supposed to be like that. I mean, they bought Bungie and Destiny because it was going to be that. But obviously, ultimately, it just doesn't, you know, it didn't come out the way they wanted it to. I mean, hell, Marathon. I mean, I don't think Marathon's supposed to be PlayStation exclusive, but, you know. You could also say that, you know, the push from PlayStation to put a lot of their first-party games onto PC is them sort of being like, we need to open up more revenue streams eventually. We have to.
Yeah.
We see PC gaming as, like, a good market. We have to put our games out there.
And don't get me wrong, I do think that they're coming out with, like games that I'm very excited for.
I mean, Ghost of Yote came out, this week, I'm pretty sure.
How's that been doing?
I think it's done solid reviews. You know, I mean... for a first-party PlayStation game, I'm pretty sure it's doing well for itself.
When it'll be out on Steam, though? a year.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I can wait a year.
I mean, is Ghost of Tsushima out on Steam already, or no?
You know what? Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
All right. But yeah, you know, just to get back to sort of the main topic of just Game Pass, it's just, you know, it is a... I mean... The thing is that I don't think Microsoft hasn't really had a statement yet of like, because I mean people have been canceling their subscriptions or switching over to at least the medium tier price because at the end of the day, like if you still want to play those Xbox exclusive games,
that is on Steam.
Okay,
Alright, mm-hmm. Just wanted to make sure.
But that game came out in what, 2018? 2019?
Yeah.
And then when did it come out on Steam?
Hold up. I don't have that information right now. Give me. Just keep talking.
Yeah, okay. But anyways, you know, like, because again, like the your premium tier is $15, and it comes with a fair, like a solid amount of value. And if you still want to play those Xbox exclusive games, you can. Not day one, obviously, but like within like what, a year, which is honestly fine. I mean, heck, they even, I think what they announced that like Ultimate users can play Hogwarts Legacy already. Like you can play it like right now. And you know, sure, if you're a fan of Harry Potter, that's fine. But that game came out like what, 2 years ago, at least.
I feel like that, yeah.
It feels like it was 2 years ago. So you know.
I remember more of the controversy rather than like.
Yeah. And you know, so I'm not gonna get into J.K. Rowling's shenanigans, but you know.
I mean, I feel like we both know where we all stand in that.
Somebody has to let her know that there's some mold growing in her house. Like I. Listen, I don't know if that's the cause, but, like, I don't think it's helping, dude. but anyways.
So I can't find it, but I did find something. Remember when the whole Helldivers 2 situation with Sony?
Yes, I think I do. They were requiring you to have a PlayStation account if you played on PC, and people were pissed about that, because,
mm-hmm.
if I recall correctly, you know, not every country has the accessibility to PlayStation accounts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it's like, Sony is not, you know, free of criticism.
Neither is Nintendo.
I mean, obviously, recently Nintendo, obviously, but it is funny that people, when you put into perspective of,
I mean, technically, Microsoft's still the worst.
I mean, yeah, I was gonna say, like, if you put it into perspective, I think somebody on Twitter put it into perspective of, like, how much it costs to play online.
Yeah.
Nintendo's still cheaper.
Somehow.
Well, I mean, yeah, because it's like I think it's funny enough. I talked about Game Pass, Xbox Live Gold back in the day was only $60 a year. I think I'm pretty sure Nintendo Switch Online is only $50 a year.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up just in case. But I mean, it is not that bad of a price.
No.
You know, like I mean, obviously people are like, yeah, but you know, screw Nintendo. It's like, yeah, but like at least Nintendo kind of understands like, hey, we're in.
I'll say this about. Gaming, we're kind of in a situation where, again, gaming is not affordable. Each one of these three companies has done some really, like, questionable things. I think more so Xbox right now because they're such in the limelight. Because, you know, they fell and they keep falling down every time they get up. While, like, Sony and Nintendo are like, they fall, but they're getting up and they're walking. And then they fall again, kind of thing. Are you checking right now for the price?
I'm just... Yeah, like... If you were to buy the Nintendo Switch... And granted, this is Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah.
Without the expansion pack stuff, mm-hmm. which is basically just, hey, your virtual console, games, or whatever,
yeah,
NES,
yeah.
all that stuff, is $20... $20 for a year.
That's
$50
bad.
Is with, you know,
mm-hmm.
playing your old the old NES games, SNES, Game Boy, the GameCube stuff, the Virtual Boy,
somehow.
Which, I mean, granted, I will say, I was really hoping you didn't need the fucking Virtual Boy accessory to play those games, but apparently you do, or the cardboard, which
is just...
Who the
fuck is gonna get a cardboard?
I mean, hey, listen, I'll tell you this. If the cardboard VR works for other VR stuff besides Virtual Boy, maybe I do it for a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, right? Maybe I can play Oculus Rift games with the Virtual Boy headset.
That would be funny.
but still, when you look at it like that, you know, Nintendo is not that bad of a price.
No.
Like,
but again, like I said, like each one of these companies has done questionable things, things that have, like, you know, made it very difficult to be, you know, someone in the gaming sphere. I think the only one that hasn't is Steam, but that's technically they're just a store.
Yeah, you wouldn't call Steam, like, they make Steam Decks, which is, you know, your, like, handheld, like, competitor to the Switch, but, like, to be honest, as much as people rave about it, you don't see people using it a whole lot.
I've only seen one in the wild once.
I think I've seen one in the wild once as well, but that was when we were at Evo.
Yeah.
And that's because, like, I mean, like, yeah, you're not going to play. I don't think this wasn't when I think the Switch 2 had come out, but nobody, I think, nobody had it, I think, at that point. You know?
Yeah.
Like.
And I heard Street Fighter 6 is apparently good in that, too.
Yeah, I've seen people test it out. Because I was going to say, like, I'm pretty sure Street Fighter, you know, like, 6 hadn't come out on the Nintendo Switch 2 yet, which is probably why, because they were playing Street Fighter on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I think we were at, I think it was last year, somebody was playing Dragon Ball Fighters on their Nintendo Switch.
I do remember that.
So that's funny as hell to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like, Steam, you know, it's, I mean, even then, Steam, back when it first started, people were upset about it, because it's like, oh, I have to play the new Half-Life, I have to download the Steam, what the fuck is this, you know, I hate this stuff, or whatever, but then, obviously, slowly, over time, it's like, oh, actually, Steam is good, you know, like, mm-hmm. They always do good pricing. I mean, hell,
there's always a Steam sale.
I mean, hell, there's a Steam sale happening right now. I just bought some DLC for Planet Zoo right now, because it was cheap as hell.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, that's a thing. Hell. Yeah.
Like, I don't even consider, like, Steam as part of, like, the three.
No, it's it shouldn't be. It's its own ecosystem. I mean, I know, obviously, Epic Game Store, you know, is trying hard to dethrone Steam, but by, you know, by having all their free games and stuff. But at the end of the day, Steam has more of, like, convenience and, like, mm-hmm. good pricing and, you know, all this stuff. And granted, you know, it's good to have competition, which is, I think, the ultimate thing, especially with the main three, big three consoles,
mm-hmm.
right? It's good to have competition. I mean, hell, the success of the Nintendo Switch has prompted both Sony and, you know, Microsoft to do handheld gaming stuff for their consoles. Obviously, the PS5 has their, like, little weird thing.
I have not seen someone hold on to that.
Well, no, because that thing only really works if you're within range of your PlayStation 5.
Oh, that's stupid.
You can't take that on the go. You can take it on the go in your house, but you can't just straight up take
it.
So
essentially, you just made a Wii U.
I mean, yes. I think that's the big joke about it. That's why nobody uses it, right? And obviously, Xbox is teaming up with
Razer,
I think somebody else, I forget who, mm-hmm. but they have their the Ally, they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a handheld thing, but basically, you know, but I'm pretty sure it's playing a lot of more Xbox games and stuff, which, you know, that's more akin to what a Switch is, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like you can just plug that into a TV and, you know, it's...
No. But the thing about that one is that it's expensive as fuck.
Yes, it is also very expensive. I mean,
the highest end one is $1,000.
Yeah, and people were complaining about the Nintendo Switch being $500.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, like, again, I'm not trying to be a Nintendo fanboy, because I feel like I've been, throughout my entire life, I've been, you know, not pessimistic, but, like, realistic about Nintendo. Like, they know what they are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nintendo knows what it is. It doesn't try to compete with the two dogs in terms of graphics or performance. They just do their own little thing, you know?
Yeah.
And people will get pissed about it, you know. They'll get mad about their pricing or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, I know people are upset right now, like, where's the new Mario game? And it's like...
Well, no, the one I've heard now is, like, people are upset about the whole, you buy something online and you don't get, like, a refund kind of thing. And I'm just like, yeah, Sony's been doing that, too.
Yeah, it's one of those things of, like, I think the criticisms are, like, Nintendo is doing the things that the other two are doing now.
Yeah.
Right? The other two console makers are doing now. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, well, it's the changing of times, right?
The nature of the beast, really.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you didn't have to do it. I mean, do you get a refund from Steam? I don't think I've ever refunded a game.
I have not, but it does let you refund. Okay. I think I looked at this once before. I think it was when I bought Fatal Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just wanted to double check, like, what would be the scenario to refund it. I believe you have 2 weeks to refund it, and it has to be less than, like, 2 hours of game time.
Oh, I hate that that's specific.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things of, like, I'm guessing from Steam's end of, like, oh, you've played this game for more than 2 hours, therefore you are into it, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's harder. But I think I've seen a lot of people, like, talk to Steam support, and they've been able to get refunds even mm-hmm. after the 2 hour date time. But yeah. I think it's more like it gives you the lenience of, like, hey, 2 weeks. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, if you test it out, if you want to just play a game, test it out for a little bit, and then you're like, well, this isn't for me, then, mm-hmm. you know, you can easily refund it within 2 weeks or whatever.
Yep.
But speaking of Steam, though, because this has been making the rounds I've seen on social media, where somebody was actually given a portion of store credit back because something they had bought was actually brought down in price. So it's like, hey, this thing you bought before actually went down, so we're actually giving you some money back because, you know, to give you the fair price that
that's
it should
good.
Be. And
that's
it's like,
good.
Oh, well, that's cool. That's interesting. But, you know.
It's also probably because, I mean, again, I'm like, I'm not surprised when seeing that because, like, Steam is not owned by a big-ass company.
Yeah, Valve is, I wouldn't say Valve is, like one of the biggest gaming companies around. But, you know, they have Dota. You know, they hold their Dota tournaments and stuff that mm-hmm. are pretty big. But, you know, it's...
They don't have a big head oversight overseeing them, like Microsoft and
Sony. Yeah, they don't have their... They're doing their own thing. Like, Gabe Newell, which I believe is the name of the...
No, that is the name.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still alive, though.
No, he's still alive.
Somehow. Until he announces Half-Life 3 and turns to dust.
I mean, yeah. And I think that is something that people have been talking about, like... It seems like a lot of Steam's goodwill, or at least good practices, are from Gabe himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it is sort of a wonder of, like, when Gabe moves, you know, passes on, or, like, decides to, you know, leave the company just to retire
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, okay, who steps up next? Are they still going to continue what Gabe has been doing, or are they going to, you know, go down that corporate route that every other game, you know, marketplace has been doing it recently, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, when you come back to Game Pass, I think it's like we said before, it's not a great decision.
No, it's not.
Microsoft, I don't think, has said anything about the backlash at all. So, I mean, I don't know if it will.
It might have, but we just didn't pay attention to it because, like, we're all just kind of, like, accepting the fact that this is still stupid.
I mean, I haven't seen anything, because I checked, again, their article on their Xbox Wire page, you know, mm-hmm. their official news page. I haven't seen them mention anything about, like, looking or readjusting any pricing or whatever, just, so nothing.
I mean, if they do, good. You're listening to criticism. That is what you should always do.
Yeah, and I think that we would commend them for that, but also at the same time, that's something that a lot of consumers need to also show. Like, you gotta vote with your wallet, you know, straight up, you know, because these companies want your money, and so if you just withhold that and tell them, no, I'm not going to do that, right, like, you know, that shows them, like, hey, this is a bad decision move,
because
we got to act fast.
One person not paying with their wallet means nothing compared to 1,000.
Yeah, and granted, I say this, but I recall when Left 4 Dead 2 it was coming out and you needed Steam to play it. People were, like, wanting to boycott the game, but then, like, the boycott didn't work. People just played the game anyway. So, you know...
Wow, okay.
What I'm saying here is that sometimes gamers have a hard time boycotting things because, you know, they are very much of a, give me the game, I want to play the game, give me the game.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm guilty of that as well. There'll be times I'm like, I shouldn't play this game, I shouldn't play this, or, like, I shouldn't be supporting this, but I'm like, the game's so fun. Like, I'm willing to admit that myself. I am not a perfect man. But like, yeah, no, it, like I said, you know, one person saying, like, I'm not gonna do this, I'm not gonna buy this, is meaningless to compare to, like, 1,000. I'm not saying that as, like, a negative, but it's more like, we are all agreement that this is bad, let's show them that we do not agree with this. Whether it be canceling subscription or going with the lowest price ever.
I mean, yeah, whatever you feel like works.
Honestly, because, like, say the $10, if everyone just moved to $10, they'd be losing the amount of money they thought they were going to get.
Yeah.
That's still affecting their pricing.
Yeah, it still affects their you know, the revenue, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, you know, vote with your wallet. That's pretty much the biggest thing I have to say. I mean, I don't know, is there anything else you want to
say? There's not much I can say. It's just that, like, I hope that this isn't, like, a thing that's going to be happening more often. I mean, not saying Xbox, because I feel like, because again, whatever step forward they make, they end up making two steps back. That's kind of how this company is.
Yeah.
You know, you get a cool game like Hi-Fi Rush, and then you cancel the studio for a fucking reason. You know, but like, you know, they raise their prices on consoles. Really dumb. Sony's raising their prices with consoles. Really dumb. You know, we saw the whole Nintendo Switch situation going on. Really dumb. Like, this is kind of like the ongoing thing that's going to be happening within the gaming sphere. And it's, I don't want to end it in like a negative way, but you know, I do agree. Pay with your wallet. Vote with your wallets.
Mm-hmm.
Show them that you do not agree with this. And who knows, I would say start supporting like more smaller title games. Or, because I think that's probably the best way to show, like, hey, we don't need the big AAA games. Something smaller is fine. That there's a reason why Expedition 33, it was the big talk of the town. Small studio, former Ubisoft devs.
I mean, yeah, I think that's something that I think gaming needs to do. I mean, you talk about Expedition 33, Hollow Knight, Silksong. Big game.
Yes.
Big game made by indie developers. You know, granted, it took them a while to get it out, but it is making numbers. It is seen as, like, a big thing. You know, like, it's very clear that the gaming...
Jeff Keighley kept teasing it.
It's very clear that the, you know, the gaming atmosphere does not... Well, as much as we talk about... People, like, talk about, like, oh, this needs to have, like, you know, all the graphics and, you know, like, realistic lighting and stuff. It's like... Making just a good game on a solid budget is gonna sell, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, granted, like I keep thinking back to stuff like when Square Enix was upset that like I forget which game it was, but like they were constantly overestimating like games like, oh, it didn't make enough, but it's like still like a million units. I'm like, that's good. Like, what were you expecting it to make?
I don't know why I thought of Forspoken or whatever that war game was.
I think it was during the PS4 era. I think.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember.
What game was that?
Yeah, because
I'm... Yeah, like, really can say that about anything, even the movies, too. Like, no movie has to make a bajillion dollars to, you know... To be, you know, great, you just need to make it good.
Oh, you know what? I think it was, Final Fantasy 16.
Right! That game was, so, like, I haven't played the game. I like Final Fantasy. I just never had time for that one. But, like, everything I've heard was, like, that game undersell, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Didn't it sell, it sold a good amount of units.
And I guess, the FF7 Rebirth also was
a
bit of lower sales.
Yes.
But to be fair, I think that might be on Square Enix because they wanted to divide this Final Fantasy VII Remake into, like, I'm guessing 3 games.
No, it is because everyone's like, it's reflecting of how 7 was 3 discs.
Yeah, because it's like, well, we wanted to make the best thing possible and we can't it would take us forever to make the entire game like this or whatever, right? But at the same time, it's like, well, each of these games are basically just... are going to be 3 separately fully expansive RPGs, JRPGs. And you're really banking on the entirety of people who like Final Fantasy VII to buy all of those.
Yeah.
Which I know, I mean, there's definitely going to be people that do that.
Max.
Don't be wrong. Yes, the Maximilian dude.
Yes, you know? Love him.
But at the same time, you know, it's like... You know, would I pay... do I just rather wait for all of those parts to come out in, like, a complete bundle and then play
Steam.
Them all? Well, I mean, they're all on Steam already.
Is the second one out on Steam?
Yeah, it's already on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, it's one of those things of, like, these gaming companies really need to sort of set their sights on more realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Of, like, hey, these smaller games can sell to, you can make profit off of those and be happy with that instead of just trying to go bigger and bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah, your big games will bring the money in, don't worry.
Like, you know, it's like not everybody can be Call of Duty or Madden or FIFA or whatever.
Yeah, because those hit
on the most casual levels,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, that's,
it's the equivalent of an action of expecting all of your movies to be action movie budget level. It's like you're gonna be losing money.
Yeah, like if you are making like a rom-com expecting you to make Avengers Endgame money, that's not how that works.
No. Like, that's not, no. Like, I think of, like, all, like, the biggest, like, the most influential movie this year was, like, Sinners, and that was made in a smaller budget, and then, but, and it made so much of it back because it was, one, good, two, smaller budget.
Yeah.
That's how that works. But that's as much as I can say. So, enjoy, we're gonna put a pin on this one. We'll see what happens. If it happens on time we're gonna be recording, we'll let you guys know. But if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Instagram, where you find a link to all podcast sets we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, all of the like, and a link to the YouTube. For all you listeners out there who want to put a face to the voice, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and a Patreon for any form of support. And yeah, it's been me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Try and enjoy the games that you love.